Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And God is really speaking right now to us. God is proclaiming some amazing things. And I'm asking you, as we begin a new series, to hear his voice. I also want to explain to you, we have people that are assigned in our church that if something physical would take place, if there's a protection that is needed, we have people assigned in our church to act upon that. And we are actually this year going to be moving into some nursing development to where there is actually people that would be here. We have doctors in the house, but we're assigned with people that are trained to be able to take care of whatever takes place in this facility. And next door over here, let me just explain to you also to comfort you. We also have cameras in specific areas of our campus that are security on their phones. They can watch every camera. If they're on the total, south side of our campus, they could see the north side because of the cameras that we have on their phones and the protection. So we move in this realm, and we allow that because we have a crowd. For many of you that are watching online, many of the church homes, I encourage you to study up on that and to get help with that for your own church homes and the many churches that we've had the privilege of help start, that they would do that also. Why do we do that? It's because Jesus gives us wisdom to do those things. So whenever things happen, what we have to do, we have people assigned, and then we just worship the Lord and allow the power of God to move, which he did. He moved. And we love people in this house. Everybody here, if this is your first time or you've been here for many years, a few years like Miss Pat Rubottom, since she was 3 years old. And this is a place that's amazing. But I wanted to say to you, before I dive into the new series, is the Lord woke me up at 3:32. Not 3:32, but 3:30 also. And he began talking to me about how this is a time that he is expressing himself in a greater way. God is moving. There are specific times I've recognized in 46 years of ministry where the Holy Spirit begins to really speak to the congregation, to the house of God. And he began showing me this. And so I began praying. I've been up since 3:30 this morning. I've been praying ever since then for this house. I didn't have anybody in my office except at 9 o'clock when a lot of the kids from the fine arts department come in my office. I give them jelly beans. But other than that, I've been praying since I arrived here around 6 o'clock in the morning. But also I want to share with you is that because I was praying in tongues and praying for all of you and everybody watching online regarding getting the revelation of you're created to hear God. You're created to hear his voice. There's not one person in this house that is born again that doesn't have the great ability to hear God. And it's not because you've been in church 10 years. It's because you have the Holy Spirit inside you, God himself speaking to you. And so as I was driving, normally, I'll tell you what I do. I'm a type A personality. A lot of times I do everything the same because I am very busy and I have a lot of things that I have to handle, a lot of stuff on my shoulders all over the country, all over the world. And the reality is I have to be disciplined in my life. I said all that to say, so when I leave my house between 5:25 and 5:30 to come here, I always drive in the second from the left lane. And I always set my my car to go 72 miles an hour. And I listened for the past 12 years when it came out, the same worship CD, not CD, but on my phone. I'm a little bit more techie. It's on my phone now. But I listen to the same music, and I worship the Lord, and I drive like that, and I just worship while I come here. And then I worship in here when I first step in, and I worship in my office, and then I get my coffee. And okay, so you see how I am, right? Well, I'm driving. I get on the freeway, the 60 freeway, and I'm driving. I got it set at 72 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I hear God tell me, move in the lane to the right. And because I'm a type A personality, it's kind of like, huh? You know, because I do the same thing. I move to the lane to the right. As soon as I did that, I looked in the back. I see this bright light behind me. And it's like coming at me like no other, right? All of a sudden, the light goes out, headlights of a car. I can't see it. I look in my rearview mirror. I look to the left. And in a split second, it was probably going 140 miles an hour right in the lane that I was in. Just went, phew. My car shook. I was going 72, and it was a split second. And I said, whoa, and then all of a sudden, you hear me. You heard my voice. And you're obedient, and you moved over. So I'm driving down the road, and it's another 3-4 minutes. And then the Holy Spirit says, slow down. Get off the, you know, cruise. Slow down. 70 miles an hour. So down to 70 miles an hour, hit the cruise button. All right? But pull over to the lane you were in. Just like, okay, so I'm driving down the road. Then all of a sudden, this car gets on the freeway. He gets in this lane. There's a lane in between him and me. And all of a sudden, his front left wheel, I believe it was, just blew up. And right when I was right there, came over into the lane I was in. I moved over to the other lane halfway. And because I saw it happen, that was the Lord. I believe that whoever was in that car that went, wouldn't have even seen me. And I believe that if I would have stayed in the lane, that that car would have hit me. Now, some of you would say, and maybe online you say, oh yeah, it's just a coincidence. Well, I'm telling you, God speaks to us. And I've been praying all morning for you to understand that those little thoughts that you have in your head once in a while to do something, not to do something, or to do something different is God speaking to you. Why is that? Because he's leading you into the greatness that God has called you into. And the problem is that there are a lot of people that don't believe that God speaks to us, to them. And because they do that, they fall into disarray in their life because things happen. Because they don't believe they hear God. And so I'm going to show you in Scripture, scripturally, why I want to tell you, you are created to hear the voice of God. But we're going to understand this in a reality of life, okay? We're going to understand this in the reality of life. And it was amazing how Pastor Dan got up and said what he said, because I was debating on saying what happened to me this morning. I was just going to teach you the word, because what I'm going to teach you is a lot better than what I just shared with you, because it's the breath of God. It's the word of God. So remember, our goal this year is to grow near to God, to love his word, to honor his word, which we learned last week. By the way, that's part of a series I'm doing later on in the year. And that was a teaching that God said, I want you to share that last week. And so we must recognize, and I want to remind you today, the truth of hearing God. The title that I'm using is a title that I've used before, but I've restructured the message and I'm teaching other subjects in this. And I called it Tune In and Hear God. And today we're going to talk about how we are sheep. So let me begin by saying we are all born with an ability to hear God. You're going to hear that many times in this series. And hearing God, listen very closely to this, hearing God is not something you do, it's someone you are. You are a hearer of the Word of God. So let me ask you this. What is the main difference between a believer in Jesus Christ and a non-believer? What's the main difference between someone who's confessed Jesus Christ as Lord like you and some that have not? My answer to that, it is that a believer has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And an unbeliever does not have a relationship with Jesus the Christ. But I want to just dig a little bit deeper now in my introduction of this series. If you are praying about a new job and an unbeliever is thinking about a new job, another question, is there any difference in the way these two people are going to approach that situation? Yeah, big difference. Because the unbeliever gathers facts to make the decision or the best decision he can. The believer gathers facts and asks God what his will is. And to the believer, God will lead you. Because there's so many voices in our lives, so many things, so many, the social media, from TV to radio, to conversations at work, having bosses or being a boss. There's so many conversations, but we have to understand the greatest voice for us to hear and understand is the breath of God, the voice of God. So just with all I just said, wouldn't you rather God lead you? Wouldn't you rather that God lead you and you make decisions based upon the knowledge of God than your knowledge of facts? And I'm not trying to be condescending because we're smart people. We gather facts. And we can make very good decisions. But the difference is that we serve a God that called us from the very foundation of the earth. And in that foundation of the call, he knows your past, present, future. He knows everything about you. He knows what it will take. And he also knows what the enemy will try to do, like this morning with me. Get me from being here to stop you from attaining the things that God called you to attain. Of you to succeed, to grab that high point that Pastor Dan was talking about. So if you ever thought that God doesn't speak anymore, that hurts me. Matter of fact, to many, and I talk to many, not just in our church, but outside of our church, that we struggle with that truth. And I feel sorry for them because they will bang their heads against walls a lot. Even though they're smart, even though they have facts, and they develop the understanding and the revelation of what is the next step. But what is God saying to you? Because let me say this, he's speaking. So some today who are believers think God doesn't ever speak to them. Or they say, well, I don't hear God. And they're trying to figure out how to hear God. But I want to tell you, we'll talk about some biblical scriptural principles of hearing God. But we have to come to a place right now by faith. You are created and have the ability to hear God. You have to make that decision. Because if you don't, you'll struggle. Because the enemy will put things in your way. And he will lie to you and bring you into places of darkness, even though you're going to heaven and you're a wonderful person. Again, hearing God is not something you do. It is someone you are. So if we don't understand that, then again you will struggle with the concept of hearing God. Because you'll think, well, I'm not as spiritual, you know, as Richard Martinez, or I'm not as spiritual as Carlos, or as spiritual, and we're walking around and we're thinking, well, I'm just not good enough. Has nothing to do with your goodness. Has everything to do with who created you. So turn to John chapter 10. Because I've been with you so long, this is a subject we've talked about before. But again, we're going to dig a little bit deeper with this. In this passage, Jesus is contrasting himself as the good shepherd and the thief or the robber as Satan. So he's contrasting the shepherd and the robber who was Satan. In John 10, verse 1, you can click your tablet to that or open your Bible. It states, we are sheep and Christ is the shepherd. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Watch exactly what it says. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. It doesn't say, I sense something, or there was an impression in my mind about doing something. It is saying that you are sheep and you hear the voice of God. Now, again, the impression, I want you to allow yourself to think greater. When you're hearing God, it's not an impression. It's the breath of God that's speaking to you. He's talking to you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. When you're at places in your life that maybe you're not sure about, or you're concerned or worried about because something new that you're being led into, something, or going to a college or a new job or a new business, starting a new business, I want you to understand is all that is absolutely normal. But it's abnormal as a believer to think that God's not guiding you, that God's not speaking to you. And so this is my goal, because we're talking about this year, and the prophetic words that we've heard from Mila are steering us constantly into this direction. And so in the high point that we are experiencing with God moving amongst us and everybody else that are watching online and everybody that's involved with us, we need to understand that God is speaking. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? I'm blown away at that some say, well, we have his word, and we do, and God doesn't speak to anyone personally anymore. That's so non-biblical. Because the verse says, and the sheep hear his voice. Look at verse 3 again. Let's continue. And he calls. How does he call? The breath of God using his voice, his own sheep, by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, watch this, he goes before them. All right, let's stop here. We'll cover this in about 3 weeks. But it says he calls them out and he goes before them. Here's a truth you must understand. This is should be something where you say, I'm going to change my mind if I've been different in my thinking. Because if I hear his voice, then I'm led by him out. But every time I do that in obedience, God's always before me. So have you ever heard of a scripture that says, if God before me, who can be against me? How come a lot of times there's a lot of things against us? That's not condescending. I'm just trying to bring us to the thought. If God's before us, who can be against us? Then how come everybody's against us? Everything's against us. Maybe it's because we haven't truly made a stance in our own life that God's talking to you. God's leading you. So follow that. It's not some premonition, not some impression. God's speaking. Some of you, if I look out, you have heavy loads on your shoulders because of what you do for a living. You have heavy loads as parents and grandparents, students that are in college, heavy load, working, trying to make ends meet. Wouldn't that be amazing if every step you took, God was before you? Because that's what the scripture tells us. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If you have any doubt about the good shepherd, look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of the field. Because a lot of people say, well, you know, that was way back then when you know, God was working with Israel. That's for the Jews. All right, well, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this field. So Jesus is talking to Jewish people. And here, he is speaking of the Gentiles, that they are other sheep I have. Some here are Jewish, but thank God Jesus had another fold, and that other fold is you and me. Them also I must bring, and they, the Gentiles, will hear my voice too. I put the word too there, but hear my voice, saying, I hear God, and there will be one flock, Jews and Gentiles. One flock. So to make it literally clear, John says this in verse 27, look down to this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So the question is Jesus a shepherd? Yes. Are you following him? Yes. Then you are a sheep. What does sheep do? Hear his voice. So it's clear, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So it is for today. God is speaking and we can be led. So there are three things that tell us of our ability of hearing God. First of all, as we found out, it's innate. It's innate. In other words, you're born with it. It's inherent. It's natural. You are hardwired to hear God. You are hardwired to hear his voice. And our God is a speaking spirit, a speaking God. He is speaking always. He doesn't wait until you make a mistake and hit you. Go, no, no, that way, idiot. That's not God. He speaks to you. He tells you out of love. How does he speak? He's a loving God. He is a God of love. That's where love comes from. So the whole reason we have the ability to hear and speak is because you were created in the image of a hearing and speaking God. God hears, God speaks, you're created in his image, you hear, you speak. So the question then, let's continue, why would he create you to communicate and then not communicate to you? That's what people are saying. God would never do that to you. The Greek word for that type of thinking, listen to this word, is baloney. It is. It's baloney. It's ridiculous to even think it this way. We have to grasp, church family, we have to grasp this. God even showed me this morning in what I depicted to you is that I'm still speaking. You've gone to Bible college. You've studied. You've read many books. You've gone through the Bible umpteen times. But I'm still speaking to you personally, Gary. And I want you to understand that when you stand up in front of this congregation, you do it with the passion that you've had for years to listen to my voice. And you express it to them with the emotion that you're feeling from me now. Because tomorrow, the next day, next week, next year, there are decisions, there are things that you are to do. There are changes that you're to make. Even though you're strong in this area, God will show you things that he'll say, do it this way this time. And it's not weird. It's real. I pray for you. I prayed for you this morning. God, show them your heart towards them. God would never do that. This is what separates you from the animals. I know I love Disney too. I have grandkids. I watch Disney. God gave us the ability to communicate our deepest feelings, not only to other humans, but to him. And he communicates to us also. Now, I know animals can communicate in some level, but they can't communicate like us. I've used this illustration before, but I want to just kind of bring you back to this. Anybody watch Discovery Channel? How many of you like things about animals? All right. On the Discovery Channel, I was watching a guy sitting in a room listening to whales. He was listening to recordings of whales. You know, all day long. Right? So the producer said to the guy, what's he saying? And sure enough, you know what the guy said? Oh, he's lonely. And you know what my thought was? No, you're lonely. Get out of that room. Right? Right? Get out of there. Here's another test. I've showed you this too. How many of you have dogs? Aren't dogs amazing? They're so cool. We had dogs for years. And just go up to your dog when you get home and go get some pizza so you have pizza on your breath so they get close to you. And just walk up to them and say, "Oh, you're so ugly." And just watch your dog. We're talking about communication. Yeah, animals can communicate, but not like us. So I'm not trying to put animals down, PETA. But they're not created in the image of God like you are. You were created in the image of God, a speaking God, and you can listen and hear God and speak to God. The scripture tells us very clearly, as he says, "I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice." You're born with that ability. It's innate. Here's the second thing about hearing God. Please grab this, because there's some great things God is doing right now, and you got to hear God. Hearing him, it's learned. It's learned. Now, I know that's kind of contrasting from the first innate, but you're born with the ability, but you have to learn how to hear God. And that's basically what I'm saying here in the second point. Here's a greatest example. Children. We talked about animals. Now let's talk about children. They're born with the ability to communicate, but they need to learn how to communicate. They need to be taught words, sounds, grammar, and language. They need to be taught what to say, and especially when to say it, right? The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. But let me remind you that hearing God is the second half of prayer. Because if you can't hear God, why would you pray? Why would you communicate to someone who doesn't talk? One of the reasons Scripture says, "Let your requests be made known to God." But God never intended prayer, listen to this, to be a giving of our to-do list every morning to God. God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I want that, I want this, I want that. God intended prayer to be communication between a father and his children. So if you would take some time and start to listen, you'd be amazing how much he speaks to you. Most are like this. So let me give you an analogy. Like someone calling you on the phone and you pick it up and they talk for 5 minutes and then hang up, not giving you a chance to talk. I know some of you have friends like that, but, you know, the reality is God wants you to talk to him, but he also wants you to listen to him, to spend time. You know, that was probably the hardest thing with me, my personality, the gifting that he gave me. See, my gifting doesn't hinder me. My thought of my gifting hindered me from hearing God, is because I talk a lot. I had a tendency at the beginning of my learning of prayer of just talking, and not listening. And I'd be frustrated. You know, when I read those books, you know, "Can you pray for 1 hour?" I said, "Heck no, I can't." Because that's just talking for an hour. Praying is talking and listening, talking and listening. That is the way many Christians pray. God, I need this and this and this. Gotta go. I'm busy. So this is what God is thinking. Would you like to hear what I have to say about that situation? That's what God is saying to all of us. He says that to me. Hearing God is not dependent on knowledge or depth or wisdom. It's based on your innate ability, and you learn how to do this just to listen. It's simply dependent on being taught, because we will need to learn to listen and how. So it's innate. Listening to God, hearing God, it's learned. Here's the third thing. I'm not an English major, so this isn't very good, but it's matured. It's matured. The ability to hear God is matured. Here's a question. When your children were babies and they're becoming toddlers and learning to talk, did they need to mature in their communication skills? How many of you did this when they were toddlers? They'd come up, "Daddy, Daddy," and you do that. Why did you do that? Because you didn't want to be rude to the person you were talking to. And if they didn't, they kept talking, what would you do? You would say, "You need to wait a minute. I am talking to someone right now." Maturing them in that area. Well, you know, sometimes we get embarrassed by what our kids say, right? Children, before they're taught, will say things they're not supposed to say. "Daddy, Daddy, that guy's fat." Later on, you get in the car, "You were right, yep, no, it's kidding." Or you go up to an older person and you greet them and they're frail and you know them. And all of a sudden, your toddler goes, "Man, how old are you?" Yeah, right? And you go, you have to mature the way you are talking with God and the way you're listening to God. So sometimes, because you're trying to listen to God, we're going to get to this in this series, when you're listening to God, sometimes the enemy comes in and wants to lie to you, and then you're judging whether was that God or was that me, or right? So you mature that. How do you do that? Well, because everything that's truth is God-breathed. So it matches up the Word of God. I'm not teaching that other lesson, but message. But that's the reality, because you start maturing in the Word of God. You're reading the Word more. And that's why in today's day, like I said last week, every place you go, even some churches, are coming against Scripture and trying to tell you Scripture is not for today. It's not contemporary. And I want to tell you, for 5,000 years, the Word of God has been amazing. And no one can prove it wrong. So let me give you now, in closing, a few philosophies of hearing God that are immature. How about a message a minute? When we're talking about hearing God, there are people that tell you they hear God about 300 times a day. Now, I'm not against that. If God needs to talk to me 300 times a day, I'm cool with that. But you're in a restaurant and they say, "God told me not to put salt on my food." Okay, I know not to put salt on my food. Okay? So you're maturing. And philosophical. I'm not against God, and I've shared this before. I'm not against God speaking to you and just everything, but you have to understand, you mature. God is a father. If you keep working with your children and telling them what to do, how to do it, and a lot of times do it for them, when they're 40 years old, that's a problem. Amen? So what you do in hearing God and in living your life, there comes a time that you understand the principles of Scripture, and you do it normally because it is you. You are a God-fearing person, a person that loves Jesus with all your heart and the principle of God's Word. You're going to do that, and you're not going to do that because this is what God's Word said. And you know it. And God doesn't have to come to you and say, son, daughter, now remember, when you get there, you need... No, you don't do that. You release your children when they're matured to do mature things. You don't have to tell them that. So what I'm trying to give you is a lot of scriptural wisdom in how to hear God. So the question is, again, what parent here wants to tell their children everything to do even though they're 40 years old? And if you do that, you can come to my office and make an appointment. I want to help you in working with your 40-year-old. Because all of our children, all of us want our children to grow up and make wise decisions, don't we? But they need to see us hearing God and not using God as the paddle or the timeout. Because you teach them, they grow, they mature. You grow, you mature because you're the Father's child. You grow and you mature in hearing God and talking with Him. So I'm simply saying, God speaks, and He can speak all day long to you. But a person who gets a word from God every minute is probably not the best philosophy that you have about your Christian walk. Here's a second philosophy, the point and hope philosophy. What do I mean by that? Close your eyes. Now, you know what's amazing about that? God can communicate to you that way too. But you mature. You don't have to do that because you have a love for the breathed word of God, the breath of God. You have a passion for God, and you're living your life in such a unique way. Why do you live that unique way? It's because you're maturing in hearing and walking with God. Scriptures will pop out all the time. Memorization of Scripture. And you have a situation that arises, Scripture pops up. That's the breath of God. That's telling you. Now, did God say, thus saith the Father, or thus saith the Holy Spirit, thus saith Jesus? Stop, and all of a sudden music plays in the sky, you know, like Hollywood, and then He says something to you. No, that's not how it is. It's very simplistic. Like you talking with your children and them learning. How many of you as parents had children that will say something to you, but it takes them 10 minutes to say something that would take you 3 seconds to say? And what do? Sometimes, get to the point, right? But then you sit there and you listen. And then they hesitate, and you ask a question back to what they started with, and finally they get to it. But see, they're learning how to take all the information in their brain, and some of them are different in their brains. I got all that information, and they're trying to get to the point, but they want to tell you everything they know. And you be patient. let patience have its perfect work, right? The word talks about patience. There are times when you express something to the Lord, have patience and listen. My motto, the principle in my life is, I don't move on specific things without hearing the voice of God. Because what I'm doing is good. It's a God thing what I'm already doing. But there's something new God's wanting me, leading me to. And so I have to be patient and wait on the Lord. And you know, the waiting on the Lord isn't that God isn't speaking. The waiting on the Lord usually is, hear what I'm going to say, not condescending, is we're not listening. Because when you listen, patience is, I'm not sure, but let me get back in the scripture that I know, and you read. And maybe once in a while you go to someone who you trust. Or you sit down, you call your pastor, you call an elder in the church, you call a friend that you know that loves Jesus with all their heart, and say, can I just sit down and talk to you about something? And you talk to them. They're not giving you the answer. So if you come talk to me, I don't give you the answer. I give you God's answer, what he's already said, his word. And then you have to decide, is that what God is saying for you in that specific area of your life? Okay, let me just close with this. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and stand. The last philosophy is something that mature believers can struggle in. Whatever I choose is God's will. Because I've known the Lord for a long time. I know how to do this. I've done that hundreds of times before, and it always worked. Well, I want to tell you, even in business, if there's something that you're in your heart just kind of trying to grasp something new, it's not because that's how you've always done it. You're always walking according to Scripture, the principles of God's Word, the breath of God. But here's what you need to understand. I think a lot of us are in this category, in philosophies, all right? Not that you're doing it, but you could do this. Just enjoy hearing God's voice. Even though you feel like you know, let God speak to you. Because when God speaks to you, the passion you have for it, the anointing you have for it, everything that helps you attain great things in your life gets greater because you've heard God's voice. That's it. That's what I love. I was in my office thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you. I'm telling you, it had to have been 140 miles an hour because I used to go to racetracks. Phew, right by me. Car shaking like that. And hearing God say, okay, now move over what you always do. I could have just sat. But it's innate in me to hear God. And I know when there's something different just being said to me, if it's not against the Word of God, I do it. And even if I don't even experience anything different, the one thing I know, I hear God. He loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's my heart. You've been blessed by the word today? Let's pray. Thank you. Father, I thank you, all those watching online, and the house of God here, the place of miracles. Thank you, Lord, for moving upon our lives today, touching lives, healing bodies, restoring the love and relationship with people. Overwhelm us with those truths as we continue. As we continue, I'll say it again, as we continue to hear the voice of God and walk in your ways, knowing that when we do that, in every, from the small to the big, when we hear your voice and we're obedient to it, you're always in front of us. Satan, you have no place in the futures of those who are involved at Valley Community Church, because they hear your voice and they walk in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Tonight, please come. Make it a family operation. And guess what? Football's over, so you can come. Bless you.